Welcome to the Roto Report, and we're going to do a little hardwood classic throwback style, old school. It's a little R&R. Kenny Rota and Michael Regai. Regai and Rota with you here on the Roto Report. And Reg, we're through another Cavaliers basketball season, and unfortunately, Apbith won out again. Another ping pong ball in the hopper. They're back in the draft lottery, but they did improve by 9 wins over a year ago, so some progress was made. But how disappointed are you that they're not in the playoffs this year?
I don't know if I have a strong enough adjective, Roadman, to tell you how disappointed I am. I think they very vastly underachieved. I know where there were some solid moments. You're right. They won 9 more basketball games last year. But, Kenny, when you look at 3 teams in the East, and you and I have talked about this in the last week or so, when you look at Toronto, Washington, and Charlotte, who have been the Cavaliers' bunkmates, so to speak, in the last 4 years, as in lottery picks all over the board,
right,
they all have won between 43 and 48 games and are in the playoffs. Ken, I think right there that's a great condemnation of what's going on here with the Cavaliers this year. It's terribly disappointing.
Does that fall on the shoulders of a man who's no longer here in Chris Grant? They won 17 games, lost 16 after he was fired, so they were a game over 500. They were 16-33 with the roster that Chris put together at the beginning of the season. And when you bring in the Atlanta Hawks, too, right, into that equation, even though they're under 500,
yeah,
Paul Millsap, that free agent acquisition but made by Danny Ferry, paid dividends. Al Jefferson may have been the best acquisition of any team, and the Bobcats are in the postseason. So does it fall on Chris Grant's shoulders?
I think so, and you were hitting down the road that I just wanted to go. You lined 2 of them up. How about what the Washington Wizards did?
Yeah.
You know, I know, yeah, John Wall and Bradley Beal, their draft picks, that's great. Marcin Gortat, Trevor Ariza, and Nene.
Right.
Kenny, you and I have talked about this forever. You cannot take your great strides forward with just youth in the NBA. It doesn't work that way. How many hours you and I spent talking about that? You've got to add to that youth with some outstanding younger veteran talent. A guy like Al Jefferson, he's made an enormous difference in Charlotte. So they were astute enough to go get him. I hope the Cavaliers are looking in this direction, because whether they draft, I don't know, 9th, 10th, if they get lucky and move up higher than that, there's no savior, no young man coming in here to bring this team to the next level. I hope they realize that and try to look at meshing this talent with some other, being cohesive, guys that can play together and provide winning.
Has David Griffin done enough to earn the full-time general manager job for Dan Gilbert and the Cavaliers?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I like some of the things he's done, but, you know, by the same token, there still was this tremendous, at times, fall-off, listless play. Now, maybe you say, well, maybe that's more on the head coaches, coaches, and the players. But, Kenny, I guess, again, I don't know if Griffin can go out and do the type of things that we just talked about that can get talent that's complementary to what they have, if they're assuming they're going to keep the likes of Kyrie Irving, Deion Waiters, Tristan Thompson, Tyler Zeller. But I think somebody's going to have to sell Dan Gilbert on that they can do that, I think. And if that's David Griffin, so be it. A lot of people think he deserves a chance. I would lean toward yes, but I don't think it's a lock-solid given, Ken.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he deserves the opportunity. I've talked to him a number of times. He's a very confident guy in his abilities, and there are rumors that Phil Jackson maybe has him on his short list,
yes,
to run the New York Knicks and reunite him with Steve Kerr, you know, as the head coach there. So he's turned down other GM jobs before. He's going to be a guy that's going to be talked to by other teams, possibly, if Dan allows that. So I would like to see him get the opportunity, and that leads us then, does he have a boss to answer to? Does Dan bring somebody in then if he keeps David Griffin above him, so David would have to answer to him, a Dumars or an Isaiah Thomas type?
I like that, and I think that's the way to go. You're starting to see that more and more. You know, the biggest splash was, of course, Phil Jackson going back to the New York Knicks, president, going to run everything. Yeah, Kenny, I think if you're going to, I think even if you don't keep David Griffin, you really should try to find a guy that you have complete trust in. You got to turn it over to him, though, Kenny, and let him do his thing. But, yes, I would think that that should be the way that Dan Gilbert looks to go.
What about Mike Brown? It's the big question. First year of a five-year contract, I think like $16 million left on the deal over the last 4 years. Did Mike do enough to keep his job beyond this year?
It's kind of disjointed, isn't it?
Yeah.
I heard you earlier today, and you're right. When you look at some numbers, there are suggestions that, especially defensively, things improved a little bit, right? On the offensive end, Kenny, there are some nights I still have no idea what's going on at that end of the floor. I like Mike personally, so I try not to cloud that.
Right.
And I do think, given Gilbert bringing him back and giving him 5 years, you'd hate to see him blow it up without an opportunity with working with AGM David Griffin, maybe a new president of basketball ops, that there's another opportunity for this. But Kenny, we know this is the NBA. Stranger things have happened. It's tough when you go 33-49. I mean, there's the bottom line, and is that enough?
The question that I always ask is, all right, if you're going to fire him, that's your right as the owner, but who are you going to replace him with? Are there enough guys out there that you would rather have over Mike Brown? And then you would be having this organization with a number of key players going through their third coach in 3 years.
Yeah, and that's where the tough part of it comes in. And let's be honest, you're not going to go pirate Tom Thibodeau away, you know. I mean, who else do you like? You like Rick Carlisle? You like Doc Rivers? That's great. You're not getting those guys. So now we're down, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. We're done. All right, you want Lionel Hollins to come in here? You want Nate McMillan to come in here? You want Sam Mitchell to come in here? You want to go see if Mike Dunleavy wants to get back into coaching? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, if you're going to do it, you better be convinced that you're going to get the guy and hit the home run that's going to bring all of this together. Because, Kenny, now it's at least 5 years, right? As we sit here tonight, it's going to be at least 5 years before this team reemerges in the playoffs, if everything goes well next year.
Rhoda and Reggie back together again talking Cavs basketball after another season of falling short of the playoffs, 33-49, their final record. We've talked about the front office and the decisions that Dan Gilbert has to make. Now let's go to the players. Kyrie Irving, I asked him the question just a short while ago in the locker room about the contract extension and if it's offered to him, are you going to accept that? And he gave the politically correct answer. I understand that that's a possibility. That would be an honor for me and my family. I'll make the decision that's best for me and my family. I like what's going on here. I'd like to see it through, but I'm not going to give you a definitive answer right now. So if you're the Cavaliers, are you forced to offer him a max contract?
I think you pretty much have to in answer of your question, but I'll make it short and sweet. He, nothing different than you and I have talked about for 3 years. Enormously gifted, yeah. Marvelously skilled. Kenny, I still question as we sit here if he's the guy that's got thick enough skin that can lead this basketball team. He doesn't seem to take negativity and criticism real well. And can he galvanize this group and be the guy? I don't know that. I know he's real skilled. Kenny, though, to me, the other thing, you and I have known each other long, it's very, very, very important. And I don't believe Kyrie's the guy.
As you look at Deion Waiters, did you see enough from Deion that makes you say, you know what, he's improved, he scores as much as Kyrie, so we can afford, maybe if we have to, if Kyrie turns down the max offer, we can afford to trade Kyrie and turn it over to Deion Waiters?
I'll tell you what I like about him. He plays with that swagger, that edge. Maybe it's a South Philly playground thing. That's fine, but Kenny, that sign, what was it, 13 games while Kyrie was out? I thought Waiters facilitated. He kind of surprised me. Mm. I don't know about you. Shared the ball, facilitated, certainly wasn't looking all the time for his. I was impressed by it. Now, again, can he handle that? 82 games, lead the team night in and night out basis. You know, some would say that's folly. But I was impressed when Irving wasn't playing. I thought he did enough to make you believe, well, this guy maybe has a shot to be able to be a team leader and a guy that's going to run things nicely on the offensive end of the floor. It's still, you know, it's a crapshoot if you do it.
If you don't, do you keep them both, and can they play together? Have we seen enough of Kyrie and Deion on the floor together to say definitively, you know what, the chemistry will come, they're able to play together, or do they both have to have the ball in their hands and be the main guy on the floor with the other one not on the floor?
You just hit on it. I think that they do. I don't think we've seen enough that's convinced me with them both together that – guys are going to have to subjugate their game and their egos a little bit if it's going to work. What about you? I say no, unfortunately. And again, there's a lot of things I like about them individually, but I don't know if I see it collectively with the two of them together that it's going to exist the right way, the only way, a winning way.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page there. I've described both of them as not a point guard, not a shooting guard, but a ball guard, meaning they need the ball to be effective, and there's only one of those to go around if they're both on the floor, and that's the tough thing. All right, free agency. Whoever the GM is going to be set up nicely with some cap space. Yeah. Let's start first with the internal free agents of Luol Deng, CJ Miles, Spencer Hawes. If you're the Cavs, are any of those guys worth keeping at a price you're willing to pay, not what they're maybe asking for?
Hawes and Miles for me, yes, if, again, the price is right. Although I've always been a big admirer of Lu Deng, Kenny, I just think his best years are behind him. I don't think he can go give you that 18 a night anymore. That Achilles could go at any time, and the money he's probably, you know, rightfully so, going to want as right. A 10-year guy in this league, I don't see that. So I'd say yes to Hawes and Miles, and I don't think we'll see Lu Deng in a Cavalier uniform any longer.
What about Anderson Varejao? What do the Cavaliers, again this year, when he plays, he gives you everything he has, but he can't play a full season, similar to Kyrie Irving. Kyrie's younger, so maybe that's why you stick with him. Andy's up there in age now. What do you do with an Anderson Varejao?
No, you're right. Love him. Another subject you and I talked about over and over again for years and years. I love what he brings. I love his energy. He played more this year than the last 3 years. He's played a total of 82 games one season. But, Kenny, bottom line, I think they've waited a year or two too long. I think you're going to get back 40 cents on the dollar now with Anderson.
All right. The name that everybody wants to know and whether or not he's going to come back here or at least consider coming back here in free agency is LeBron James. If you're LBJ, all right, and you're playing for another title in Miami, and who knows, he may opt to stay in Miami for one more year if they win a title and try and go for four in a row. But if they lose and he opts out and he looks at the Cavaliers and sees what's here or what may be added in the front office and that, is there enough here to entice him to A, consider Cleveland at least, just be in the running, and then B, maybe come back?
I would imagine he'd consider it because of growing up here. But other than that, Ken, I wish I could say there's a lot to consider. I don't see it. What is going to entice you in the position that this basketball team is right now to want? He's still going to have to do all the heavy lifting, is he not?
Yeah.
He's the guy that's still going to have to be the one that is saddled with that burden of, you got to win it for us. I believe, and I think that's a big part of the reason he left here 4 years ago. So, Kenny, I don't see it. I think he's going to stay in Miami another year. But if he did, I mean, you know, to me, it's either L.A. or New York.
When I look at his situation right now, I think it comes down to whether they win or not this year. I don't think he'll leave if they win a third, going for a fourth. If they lose, Dwayne Wade's getting older. Mm-hmm. Chris Bosh may want to go somewhere else. So then the the determination for him will be, all right, Chicago, L.A., New York, who has the money, who has the best. I think it's going to come down to who has the best players around him to help him go after multiple championships elsewhere, because he's going to get paid the same no matter where he goes, with the exception of Miami, where he can make more. So it's basically coming down to who's the coach, who's in the front office, and what players am I going to be playing with on the floor. And unfortunately, if the Cavaliers are going up against the Clippers, they lose. If they're going up against the Lakers because of their history, they probably lose, depending on who they bring back. If you look at the New York Knicks with Phil Jackson there and who else they bring in there, the Cavaliers have some young guys but some unproven guys. So it's going to be very interesting to see what he elects to do and which team will get his talents should he take them somewhere else next year.
It really is. And, you know, for the Cavalier fans, I think it's something that most fans have been hoping would be reality. Again, I just don't see it. I've always felt, Kenny, that he will come back here, I'm going to say in 4 or 5 more years, on his final three years of his career, when he's 35 years old and he'll have been in the league then for 17 years, and then maybe he comes back home to wind it down. But I don't see it before that, you know, and if I'm wrong, it'll be a great bonanza for the Cavalier franchise, but I don't see it.
I think the Cavaliers have to go Houston Rockets if they're going to try and lure LeBron here as a free agent. What I mean by that is make a blockbuster deal this offseason so they can have two all-star players here already, and he would be the third one, as we talk about that threesome that you need in the NBA, three all-star players to have a chance to win a championship. I think Dan Gilbert realizes that. I think David Griffin realizes that, or whoever comes in realizes that. And so that, to me, is the way I think the Cavaliers have to approach this offseason, a blockbuster trade to bring in another all-star player.
That's a real good call, and I think you're onto something there, because it's going to take more than just what currently exists on this roster, because I can't imagine him saying, oh, yeah, you know, I'll go in there and seamlessly we'll elevate ourselves to a championship contender. I don't think that would be the case. Again, he'd have to be the guy that shoulders the vast majority of the burden. I don't think that's what he's looking for. He wasn't looking for that to go into Miami. And you're on to something about the Houston Rocket model. That is the way. I'm hoping, regardless whether LeBron comes back, I hope that's the approach the Cavaliers take. And you're right, it's going to have to come through trade, more than likely, as opposed to free agency.
Great catching up with you, Reg. We'll see what happens this offseason. And you want to go to the draft lottery this year and hang out with the guys, or what?
I'm going to pass on that, but I'll be watching.
Come on, you and I in the room to see those ping pong balls. You think they'd let us?
I don't know. Maybe you, not me, but I'll pass on that. But I'll be watching with great interest, and we'll see what the Cavaliers are able to come up with.
All right, Reg, always a pleasure,
good
my friend.
Old man, right back at you.
All right, C-Town, as always, keep it real. And, Reg, what do you want him to do?
Bring it strong, Cleveland. Got to bring it strong.
All right, there's your Roto Report. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll talk to you again soon.